Welcome back, folks. This is Mark Steiner, of course, right here on the Mark Steiner Show, and your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. Once again, we're talking about a play that was done a while back, but is still erupting and is seeing its day here in Baltimore as it should. It's called Last House Standing, about that highway to nowhere and what happened to that neighborhood in the highway to nowhere on the west side of town. And the woman who created this, the playwright, the founder and push, the forceful push for all this is Sheila Gaskins, and she wrote Last House Standing. She's an arts advocate, founder of, one of the founders of anti-apartheid, art apartheid, excuse me, and lover of the community. Good to have you in the studio, Sheila.
Hello. Always a pleasure.
Two of the actors are here as well. Sharonda Fisher, she plays Shirley in the play Last House Standing and is an educator here in the city. Noah Stone is a cantor. A violinist also appears in play. Noah, good to see you as well, man.
Hi, thanks.
And so let's take a step backwards for a second, Sheila, and give us just a second about here about the, well, more than a second, but the genesis of the play. And because I remember when you first did this and I first saw it, it was
at Roots Fest.
5 years ago?
In 2011.
Yeah. And we, 5 years ago, I was right.
Yeah, right. And we didn't get the opportunity to do the full play. So we were ready for a two-hour play, and they told us we had to stop in 45 minutes. So we never knew the ending of the play. And so I dissolved it, and brought it back up in 2013, and then the uprising happened. And then the youth that in the play, the main character in the play, her grandmother told her to fight, and that's exactly what the youth did during the uprising.
Mm-hmm.
So we found out that 68 and 2015 have the same climate as far as Baltimore City was concerned, unemployment, police brutality. And so it's bound to happen now. It's like a volcano now. So we are definitely looking forward to Last House, hopefully, prayerfully, from beginning, middle, and end.
So we'll talk about it a little bit more at the end, obviously, but what's happening with this performance is taking place next week, I know, so talk a bit about that.
So it's going to be at the Arena Playhouse, 801 McCullough Street, which is the oldest running community theater and on the East Coast. Friday, November the 11th, 8 p.m., Saturday, November the 12th, 8 p.m., and Sunday, November the 13th at 4 p.m. They can email me at sgasmass@gmail.com, and I have a Facebook event. Last House is a Facebook event.
So how do you think this thing holds up after 5 years?
Whoa, that's such a great question. I think it's so relevant. It's ridiculously relevant. And the fact that nature is becoming a part of the play, and nature is a natural thing. Like some of the stuff that's happening in Standing Rock is just like the play. So buffalo and eagle are being present during this government forced reservation site. The government forced these people in 68 to leave. And so the Evie asked the trees and the steps to help her fight the establishment. So
before we bring you all into this, we're going to play a short clip here. And let's play the kind of a piece of the top of the play, which you can explain, or someone can explain here, which is the manifesto and what that is.
Okay. Sharonda, you want to say something?
Do that?
Okay, so the manifesto is a part of the testament or the introduction to the play that lets people know what they're about to see and why they are in their circumstances. It gives out a lot of facts, and it lets them know that the story has just begun, and to don't sleep on these three women. Because there are some things coming down the pipe.
So as we hear this, I mean, we should talk just for a minute about what we're talking about here. We're talking about what we're talking about in terms of where this play takes place, what is happening,
okay,
what this moment is. Who wants to jump in?
So the highway to nowhere is on Edmondson Avenue, straight down Edmondson before you get to Martin Luther King. And that area of town on the west side in 1968, they got a transportation grant, and they were they were forced to move the black community. So they disrupted 1,900 families, 748 homes, a school for the blind for colored girls, and a lot of churches. And as a result of this disruption, this became a black wave for the Jewish community. So they all went, most of them went to Park Heights, and then the white people left, the Jewish people left. So we're talking about this notion of being forced to leave your house that equals root shock.
Right, because it's like if you look at that highway, you're talking about the highway that sits between Edmondson Avenue and Martin Luther King Boulevard that takes you from one place to the other, but it was supposed to be going from Fells Point over all the way through town, and then from Edmondson Avenue, cutting through Windsor Mill Park,
right,
and over to Route 70,
right.
Then there was supposed to be this giant highway through the middle of, and that's the highway that Barbara Mikulski led the fight in Fells Point that stopped the highway. So the only folks that got screwed in this, are the black folks who live in that community. What was the name of the community then?
The West Side.
But it was the name of the neighborhood. It was.
I don't know. I know it's Mulberry Street. And those
hundreds
those,
of families were displaced. People lost their homes.
Yep.
And it was a thriving community.
Right. It was a thriving prominent community. Black community.
So, and that got destroyed in this process in 68, and the battle to build the highway ended in the early 70s. And so the only thing we have of this highway is that one stretch of no man's land, which we call the highway to nowhere.
Right.
This is a story of the community that fought to save themselves in the onslaught coming in, right?
Right.
So the piece we're going to hear now is the manifesto. Is this the opening of the play?
Yep.
So let's hear this.
Come with me to the year 1968, to a close-knit community on a small street on the west side of Baltimore. 1968, before cell phones, Facebook, IG, and Twitter. 1968, before the first African-American president, President Barack Obama, presidential hopefuls Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. 1968, where the average income was $7,000 a year, a new car was $2,000, a movie ticket $1.50, a loaf of bread $1.21, a dozen of eggs 38 cents, a postage stamp 6 cents. The average price of a home, $26,000. A cup of coffee from Hosner's restaurant, 15 cents. The average rent was $130 a month. And to own your own home on the west side of Baltimore on Marbury Street in 1968, priceless. Act 1, Scene 1, The Neighborhood. An Arabber with a cart is hawking his wares. The iceman, the milkman, the postman are all walking through the neighborhood. We see a lot of controlled traffic. People are going everywhere. The stage is bare. Strong winds blow. Stage left. There's the silhouette of three generations of women. Grace, Shirley, and Evelyn are visible. They are folding clothes, popping string beans, and looking through the African-American newspaper on the front stoop. They begin to recite the manifesto to the highway to nowhere. Images of neighborhoods and people who have been displaced due to natural disasters or genocide or war are displayed on a big screen. Some images are of days long gone and others of days up to the present day. In the background, we hear a lone instrument and a Jewish cantor.
We are the residents of Baltimore's West Side, and this is our story. It is a story of our traditions, hopes, fears, and values. It is a story of our love for one another and the community. The story of our place in the universe and our relationship to everything, everyone, and our surrounding.
We learned this story through our ancestors who lived it in their old tradition, from passing story from generation to generation. Our story is about our struggle to maintain our dignity, our dreams, and our homes. The federal government gave transportation dollars to states for highway projects. Our mayor ordered the relocation of the East-West Expressway. The new East-West Highway project forced us out. We relocated to many different parts of the city, including Park Heights. They displaced us to build a massive highway that would be a means to give surrounding counties easy access to Baltimore's business district.
The highway is sliced through the Black community of West Baltimore. It displaced up to 19,000 residents, destroyed 748 homes, and became a Black wave, washing out our communities. The former residents referred to it as the highway to nowhere. We still feel the pain because we were snatched from our native communities, like that of our ancestors from Africa. And yes, we suffered those feelings at the hands of the highway. However, they will not take over our lives.
Our story is not a story of decay, devastation, or revenge.
Our story is a story of love, resilience, and rebirth.
A story of survival, and we will continue to press on. Our story is a story of hope, a story of remembrances, a story that celebrates people and community, and honors our concerns of yesteryear.
Not much has changed on the highway to nowhere. It's been the original structure since its inception.
What has changed is our interpretation of the highway to nowhere.
Who wants to go nowhere?
All right, that was a piece of the play that we just heard, the manifesto that opens this play. And as I said, we're here with Sheila Gaskins, who is one of the folks who created Art Apartheid in this town, this incredibly important discussion group in the city. And she wrote this play, Last House Standing, that was going to be at the Roots Festival. They only performed a little bit of it. It's coming back in a major way a week from today at Arena Players. And we'll get some information about how to get your tickets there and to be part of that conversation. Two of the actors are in here as well. Sharonda Fisher, who plays Shirley in the play Last House Standing, and Noah Stone, who's a cantor and is a violinist. We'll talk about his role in the play as well. But Sharonda, talk about your character, Shirley. Who is she?
Shirley, very stern, college educated, two children, believe in fighting for her neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. And what does she represent? Tim, who is she? What does she represent in this play?
Okay, so Shirley, she pretty much gives history about her community. It's also one part in the play where she speaks about her grandma turning over in her grave, about what's going on in the community. She speaks about the remembrance of the neighborhood, such as the doctors and the lawyers, the city workers and the teachers, all on the same block. So we were pretty much like a union.
Mm-hmm.
It was a union. There were no splitting up families or displacement or anything like that in our neighborhoods.
So what we're going to do, take a quick stop here for a moment, and we're just going to play a short segment from Sharonda's part in this play when that takes place for her character, Shirley.
It's too quiet around here. When did everybody leave? We must be the last ones. Boy.
Evie comes back out and sits opposite Shirley.
Yep. Johnny's family left already, too. Packed up. Gone.
Well, the good news is they want me to train as a manager. I'll be responsible for all the Reed's drugstore pharmacies in the Eastern District.
Hmm. In Baltimore?
In the United States, New York, Chicago.
New York, Chicago?
You can be out there with your father.
Stupid highway. So what are we going to do? How are we going to move? You still got money for that? On one hand, I'm ready to leave because all my friends are gone. But on the other hand, we need to stay in this house. We don't have to take this, Mom. We can fight. Stand up to him, you know. Fight. 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 2, 4, 6, 8, we ain't moving, celebrate. 2, 4, 6, 8, we ain't moving, celebrate.
7, 8, 9, 10, we leaving, never coming back again. We moving. Yes, yes, we moving. And not because of the new position. I'm grateful for that. But they making it really hard for folks to stay. Lots of pressure. The highway's coming. And it's nothing I can do about it. I know your grandma will be turning over in her grave about this now. Her and daddy was one of the first families to move here from Turner Station. It was such a nice, clean neighborhood. Just perfect. Everybody knew everybody. I mean, doctors, lawyers, city workers, and teachers, all on the same block. Everybody looked out for one another, too. I remember the time I called myself playing hooky from school. By the time I got home, Mama knew all about it, made me go outside and find my own switch. I couldn't sit for 3 days. It was a real nice place to grow up and raise kids, a real sense of community. Not to say we didn't have problems, but what neighborhood didn't? But what we did have is a solid foundation and a lot of positive role models. There was no such thing as disrespecting your elders. Everybody worked and contributed to the house. So pack up soon and help your cousin pack up too, will you?
So now I want to introduce you all to Noah Stone. Noah is a cantor and is a violinist. And what's your role in this play?
Well, I'm doing the Shema at the opening of the
and
play.
What is a Shema for our listeners?
That is the most important part of Jewish liturgy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And I play it and chant it. And the feeling I have there is... my own displacement I have in my own life and how I'm trying to reconnect many artistic ways. Really grateful to Sheila for having me in this play. I can feel some displacement like I would have as if I was at a former synagogue in Park Heights and just there on the street corner, like I'm a street musician, and just chanting and playing the liturgy in an abandoned former synagogue building, having no connection, to an actual synagogue where I could be doing, cantoring. So it's amazingly accurate part of what I'm feeling and doing.
So why was it important to have this voice, his voice, a Jewish voice in this play?
Well, this is all based on Ashley Milburn's, his research, and he had the template for this. And inside it was a Jewish cantor in the template. But Baltimore is also, Maryland is a three-tier displacement, housing discrimination section of the world. So it's white people, it's Jewish people, and it's black people. So we all are affected by the redlining, by the covenants, and it affects all three of us as a race. And that's really prevalent in Maryland. I don't know how about other cities. And you do know that Maryland is the originator of housing discrimination. That happened at Marble Hill back in the day. So that's why that voice is very necessary. And I met Noah, and he's just awesome. He's just awesome.
So we're going to play a little bit of Noah's piece here, of the cantor.
Thank you. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai
So hearing that piece now, I mean, there's so many aspects to this. I mean, you have street scenes. You've got scenes with police in it. You've got the...
Arabber,
which is a really very interesting piece.
Mm-hmm. And the history of Arabbing and how that was such a force back in, like, Civil War days. And they were white Arabbers in the beginning, which I didn't know. And then factory jobs opened up, and so they went into the factories. And so the black men carried those jobs on. And how, you know, they talk about deserts, food deserts, and Arabbers are still happening now in 2016, which is so amazing to me. And so we bring that voice to the scene. We also bring Tree, which is a real tree, and he talks about being an urban tree and how based on...
You have a talking tree.
Yeah, he's a talking tree. So think if Malcolm X was a tree, that's Tree.
No justice, no leaves.
Yeah.
That's the line.
That's the line. Spoiler alert.
Good line.
And so we're talking about, again, Tree has a lot of, he talks about Rorschach. He talks about what it means for plants to be displaced. So if you pull a plant up and you just take her or him or her and you replant it somewhere, it will not grow the way that it should grow because it's suffering from shock. It becomes discombobulated. It becomes in a rut. It won't remember things. And so that's what happens when you displace people, whether natural causes, war, genocide, all of the water that just recently happened, all the flooding, even Ellicott City is a victim or an example of what can possibly happen as far as Rorschach is concerned, displacing. So it's all about displacement and trying to find your home base.
So, if you had to talk to folks about why they need to come see this play, Riley, what would y'all say?
Sharonda, well, what you going to say?
It's very informative. It's about history. And you also get to laugh. So it's not boring, you know. Yeah.
I think it's really relevant. Everything going on today. I really love the way it connects when in 68 to what happened in recent years in Baltimore. I love feeling having a part in that, and it is really entertaining and imaginative too.
Yeah. And the other part is you can bring your kids because mm-hmm. it's a lot of kids in it from the neighborhood, and it's three generations. So we're talking a 17-year-old, a 30-something-year-old, and maybe a 60, 70-year-old. And it's
really
fun.
Old.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Bring me my walker. All right. So this is cool. So this is I think it's really kind of a very important production that I'm glad it's seen the light of day in its full glory. You're going to have a set. You're building a set. You have all the actors lined up.
Yep.
Everything's ready to roll.
Yep.
You're in rehearsal?
Yep, we're in rehearsal now. We have our marblelets, which are like Donna
marblelets?
Ross. Yeah, so they're like
marble
Donna
as
Ross.
In marble steps?
As
the marble
in
lets.
Marble steps. They're the marblelets, and they sing. So, and they sing reminiscent of Pennsylvania Avenue and the Royal Theater type of classic songs. And so there's something for everyone. And I'm just enjoying the history part. That part is amazing.
No, it's so important to get this history out because people really don't get it.
Right. Yeah. That's true.
They really don't get it at all. And I think that this is just, it is a critical piece of our history. We hear all the time about Barb Mikulski stopping this on the east side. And I know I lived in Windsor Hills and it was for 26 years on the west side of town, just on the other side of the park. And near Forest Park, and people talk there about how they stopped this highway from killing the park and destroying the park. But we very rarely really talk about what happened to the hundreds and hundreds of people who were displaced in this community. It was a solid community.
Yeah.
And because many people drive down that road have no idea what the hell is
they
this.
They don't.
Why do we have a highway going from here to here and it stops?
2.5 right? stretch of highway.
Why? And most people don't know.
No, they don't.
So you want to know why?
Come on
down. Y'all
got to
come on down and see this play because Sheila has been working this thing really hard. And I've known Sheila for a long time and know how hard she puts, how hard work she puts into all of her work.
Yeah.
I've known you since you were 17.
Yes.
That's some scary stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So Sheila Gaskins, who wrote the play Last House Standing. You've also heard from Shronda Fisher, who plays Shirley, who's a key character in this play. Noah Stone, who's a cantor. Who does a shema and plays a violin in this play.
Uh-huh.
And it's very moving and very important. I've seen pieces of it. I've read it. And I just think it's really an amazing piece of work. So it'll be at the Arena Playhouse. Arena Players, 801 McCullough Street, North McCullough Street. November 11th, Friday at 8 p.m. November 12th, Saturday at 8 p.m. November 13th, Sunday at 4 p.m. And you can get tickets. Well, we'll tell you how to do that in a minute. But I want to thank all three of you for being here. Shronda Fisher, Noah Stone, of course, Sheila Gaskins.
Thank you. Thank you.
The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. Offering a full range of financial services, MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. More information, www.mecu.com. Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our senior producer is Mark Gunnery. Our producer is Imani Spence. Our research producer is Calvin Perry. Our engineer is Andre Melton. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. Send me your thoughts about today's program to talk@steinershow.org. Podcast Mark Steiner Show and share it with your friends. Visit us on the web at steinershow.org or listen to us via your favorite podcasting app. And for your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner.